Next speaker is Yaniv Golombek.
Hi, my name is Yaniv Golombek. I kind of wear a couple of hats. I work as a geospatial analyst at an American company. I'm also a PhD student. My specific areas are GIS remote sensing, LiDAR acquisition with fixed wing and helicopter, and I'm going to talk about a project that I did last year specifically in Sierra Leone, where we were trying to identify 50,000 hectares of viable land for sugarcane growth. And a high-level executive study indicated that when you look at a holistic area like that, approximately 42% of an area should be viable for sugarcane, taking into account some of these other issues at hand. Specifically, since we were dealing with such a large amount of cane growth, we specifically wanted to start with a pilot area, and if things worked out there and we found that the area was viable, then we would move on to the rest of the area. But the question really was how do you really come up with a viable study without putting too much emphasis of focusing of actually having boots on the ground and having focus on the area itself. And so we took a remote sensing GIS approach. The first thing we did is we contacted with Digital Globe to fly the area with their WorldView 2 sensor. And we collected ortho imagery at 0.5 pixel resolution, and we collected it with stereo pair to compile topography, which would be able to, with high significant confidence, be able to generate 1 meter contour with 0.33 RMSE. And also for some various aspects of the study as well, some multi-spectral imagery. So specifically, the only on-site interaction we had was when we sent a group of about a dozen surveyors to actually collect ground control in the area. And specifically, so we had about a dozen survey points which we needed to ortho-rectify the imagery and also to be able to compile the topography. And if everything worked out and we saw the results we wanted, then we would actually attempt to map out the area as seen as that conceptual design on the screen. So, so like I said, we contracted Digital Globe, and specifically we utilized the data to look at all these different areas criteria that would tell us if the area was going to be viable for sugarcane growth or not. Specifically, topography. This is the model of the topography that we got from the data, and all the actual composition of the data was done through one of our company's subsidiaries down in Mexico. And after running some tests on the topography, we determined that the RMSE through a control test was at 0.31 meters, so it was very highly accurate topography data. And if I divide that into these six different categories and why I did this, well, I'll be showing you a little later on. This is just a percentage breakout of different slope factors that are out there. We also use the topography to look at the hydrology and drainage of the area, and we ran some simulations in the area to run some flooding events to specifically to disqualify areas that would be prone to flooding. And we also, for the purposes of watershed stream order, I mean, some areas are preferred stream order for sugarcane, some will disqualify the area. But we, through this data, we were able to compile stream order as well. And again, as I later on, I'll show you why all this really matters. So we were able to look at the road network of the area. This was done via a heads-up digitizing, and we digitized all the primary and secondary roads and red trails as well, because in our ultimate report we wanted to report on how much, since road composition is such an inexpensive field to be looking at, we wanted to be able to determine if what the road network was like for the ultimate report. And we determined through this data that it was actually pretty good, that for primary transport, really only 0.3% of the current road network would really be an issue that we'd have to look in deeper, and this again was done with draping the data against the topography. Now, this does not, of course, take into account what the current road looks like. If you know certain, you know, fill's going to have to be done on the road to grade it out. But as far as the more significant things that would have to be done for road network composition, those were really irrelevant. Like it's only about 0.3% would have to be looked into a little deeper. And then looking at transporting out to the to the economic centers, which would be in Freetown and also Conakry and Guinea. We also saw that there was viable infrastructure outside the area of interest as well. As far as soils analysis, this was really not part of the what we did, but it was not part of the ultimate analysis, but at the same time we just wanted to get a feel for what the soils were in the area, and with some help from some faculty at the University of Florida Everglades Research and Education Center, you know, their conclusions based off of the data that was available without actually digging and taking soil samples was that there's nothing in that data that would say disqualify it from being a viable area for sugarcane growth. Land use land cover, this gets into a different part of the digital globe data, which is a remote sensing analysis, and through that we were able to come up with 10 different fields, and specifically what percent cover each one is, as far as things like shrubbery, grasslands, active forests, current agriculture, how much of the area is covered by current villages, how much was covered by water, and so on. And also we looked at the vegetation health. With the digital globe data, we were able to isolate the 6 band, which specifically identifies chlorophyll as the band where chlorophyll is more present, to give us a feel for what the current vegetation health in the area is, and we gave everything a classification code. And also, since the ultimate purpose of this project was, it was two purposes, one, growth, sugarcane growth for economy, and two, for mass production of ethanol for energy security within the country, we were processing on site was something that we had to look at, so we were able to use this data to actually try to pinpoint where primary areas would be for processing sites. So everything I just pretty much described, what we have been researching various characteristics of sugarcane, we did an in-depth GIS analysis to basically give a classification to each field within each different area that we covered. Again, nothing's in order. For example, a slope of 0 would receive a classification of 3. Which is mid, you know, a slope of say 1% to 3% was most ideal, and we just kind of follows this pattern for everything that we did. The stream order pretty much works in reverse, you know, whereas a high stream order you would want to avoid because of too much drainage, whereas a lower one within the boundaries of that would be most preferred, and so on and so forth. So. Once we have that land classification, which ultimately looks like that, with 5 being the most preferred, 0 being the least preferred, I mean, we looked at the various irrigation methods that we could apply to the area. This would be an ideal center pivot. Of course, it's not going to look like that again, only I think ideally conceptual. But we did take some areas to try and pinpoint some sample areas to try and pinpoint, you know, what percentages were viable. And looking at the center pivot method, we only concluded that with these 3 test areas, that only approximately 24% of the area was viable. So with that, we looked at some other irrigation methods and doing some more aggregation of the data, red being a no, green being a yes, or more preferred. We tried to apply this model to other irrigation methods, such as a furrow, a sprinkler, or a drip. And of all these, everything came in under 30%, with the sprinkler and the drip being more preferred. This report does not really look into the economics, because obviously to stand up one of those systems would not be economically viable. But we really didn't get into that area with this. So basically, in conclusion, we determined that we were trying to get around 42% of the area, give or less, being viable for sugarcane growth. Again, that is on a holistic level when you look at all the factors that are within these areas. We determined that less than 30% with each method would be viable. Thus, we determined that this area was not a primary area for sugarcane growth. So we are currently actually looking at other areas to try and implement a project like this. And again, it's, you know, some factors that we had used were topography, slope, land use, land cover, vegetation health, stream order, hydrology, and floodplain. We looked at soils, of course, if it did work, and we did, the report came up to 42% or around there being viable. You know, the next step would probably be to go on site and actually do a more in-depth soils analysis. But again, the purpose of this was without actually, again, going there and putting too many boots on the ground and having too much focus in the area, doing it remotely from outside of the boundaries of the country. You know, we were determined that this in particular was not really viable for what we were looking for. And that is all I have.
We have time for one or two questions.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that barren areas were preferred.
What's that?
You mentioned that barren areas were preferred.
Let me go back to it. So a barren area was not preferred. A barren area, out of a scale from the 1 to 5, we put it as a 2.
Okay, I thought earlier you said barren areas.
Well, I apologize.
Okay.
If I...
Related question. In terms of topography, is the stereoscopic image better than the top of the canopy rather than bare earth?
No, this is bare earth. We have a whole process of how we compile our remote sensing data. And basically, we were able to isolate the canopies versus the bare earth. So what you're looking at is solely ground. It's not it's a terrain model as opposed to a surface model.
Any other questions?
Thank you.